You'll find our scripture reading in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Mark, chapter 5. And we'll read, first of all, from verse number 21. Reading a few verses and then moving on down towards the end of the chapter. First of all, Mark, chapter 5, verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And then going down to verse number 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith, Unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and saith unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly, that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word together today. William Bathurst penned the words of the hymn, O for a faith that will not shrink. When tempests rage without, that when in danger knows no fear, in darkness feels no doubt. And surely the sentiments of that verse should be the desire of every child of God, a faith that will not shrink despite the circumstances of life that often we have to pass through. Lord, give us a faith that will not shrink. The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And again, this is something that the believer should desire to do in every twist and every turn of life, to bless the Lord. But of course, that comes very easily when things are going well. When we're on the mountaintop of blessing, when the sun is shining, when all is bright, it is an easy thing, relatively speaking, to bless the Lord at all times and to have that faith that will not shrink. However, it's a different thing to exclaim and then to exhibit our trust in God and to display our faith in him when the mountaintop turns into a valley, when the sun is darkened and shaded by the clouds of life's difficulties. Problems come our way and our faith is tested and tried. And yet the Lord, in his sovereign plan and purpose for all of our lives, allows our faith to be tried in the furnace of affliction. He allows testing to come into our lives, not to destroy us, but rather to purify us and to strengthen us. George Mueller, who knew what it was to live a life of faith, depending upon God for everything, as he looked after those many orphans in the city of Bristol, he said regarding faith, God delights to increase the faith of his children. Trials, difficulties, and yes, sometimes defeat are the very food of faith. He says we should take them out of his hand as evidences of his love and care for us in developing more and more that faith that he is seeking to strengthen within us. Faith is often tried, and faith is often purified in the furnace of God's affliction. And that's what's happening here in this passage that we read a little earlier. We read of a man by the name of Jairus, a father. And yet his life has been plunged into despair because his daughter has died. A family tragedy, a terrible affliction, a trial of faith, placed in the furnace of affliction and pain. And of course, that is the lot of God's people at times. Our faith, through God's providential leading and direction, is in the furnace of trial, tested. And therefore, as we look at this account of this man here today in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, we want to see the lessons that there are for us to learn as we consider here this faith in the furnace of affliction. First of all, I want you to see with me here the demonstration of faith. The demonstration of faith. In the actions of this man, to the devastating events that were unfolding before him, we see a demonstration of faith in action. We see how his faith reacted in these circumstances. As we consider this demonstration of faith, notice further with me the reverence that he showed. In verse number 22, at the very end of the verse, we read concerning Jairus that he fell at his feet, that is, the feet of the Lord. He fell at the feet of the Lord. He brought his problems to the feet of Christ. And that is where we must always bring our difficulties, and where we must always bring our situations to bring them to the feet of the Lord. In this action, I believe there was a tremendous sign here of the reverential respect that this man had for the Lord. You see, rather than running to the Lord with his complaints, rather than running to the Lord with his grumblings and asking why all this is happening, he runs to the Lord, which in itself is a mighty demonstration of faith. But he runs to the Lord, he falls down, and he worships him. He displays a recognition of the authority of the Lord. That even though his life from a human point of view may be falling apart and falling to pieces, yet he acknowledged, I believe, and is falling at the feet of Christ, that the Lord was sovereign, that the Lord was in control of the circumstances. And Jairus took that humble position at the feet of the Lord and said, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, I don't know why you're doing it, but I believe you're working all things together for our good and for your glory. But Lord, now I need your help. He fell at the feet of Christ. Remember, of course, Jairus was a man of great respect and position in society. He held considerable prestige amongst the Jews. But in his bowing and falling before the Lord, he acknowledged that Christ was far above him. He was a man who knew that while he didn't know what was happening or why it was happening, yet he knew the Lord was ordering his steps. As this man fell before the Lord, we read in Matthew's account of the same narrative story, Matthew 9:18, that Jairus worshipped. He worshipped the Lord. In the midst of this awful tragedy that has befallen him, in the midst of the awful affliction that has come his way, rather than running from the Lord, he worships the Lord and falls at his feet. He falls in subjection and submission to the will of God for his life. But he also falls in worship and adoration of God. How this reminds us, folks, today that even through the difficulties, and even through the trials that we all face from time to time, we must worship God. Worship in spite of our difficulties, and yea, worship in the midst of our difficulties. Too often, when our schedule gets busy and our troubles increase, the worship of God is laid aside. And we forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But you know, whenever we do that, we are only adding to our troubles, I believe. The worship of God is laid aside, it's laid off in that public manner. And rather than helping, we're just making the situation worse. Jairus here very publicly is worshiping the Lord. Someone has said that the way out of trial is worship. The way out of trial is worship. Asaph, one of the writers of the psalm, in the midst of his turmoil of mind, in the midst of the terrible plague of uncertainty that he details for us in Psalm 73, it says in that psalm, the verse 17, it wasn't until he got into the sanctuary of God that he understood their end, speaking about the wicked that he was so jealous of. Until he got into the sanctuary of God. And folks, that's why the gathering together of God's people in a public fashion such as this, no matter what difficulties and trials we face, should always be our first priority. Don't lose out on worship with God in his house. Don't lose out on fellowship with God and fellowship with the people of God. Don't cut yourself off from the fellowship and worship. David, despite the sorrows that he had, and he had many, he said, "Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honour dwelleth." He loved to be with the people of God. He loved to be worshipping God. And despite the trials of his faith, here was Jairus still worshipping God. His faith didn't shrink. His faith held firm. His faith was strengthened and helped as he fell before the Lord and worshipped. The reverence in this demonstration of faith. But as we come into verse number 23, we see not only that the faith was demonstrated by great reverence, but his faith was demonstrated as well by great resolve. Verse 23, we read, "And he and besought him greatly." Here is Jairus, here is his father, this ruler of the synagogue, beseeching the Lord greatly. Here's a real resolve and confidence in the power and the ability of the Lord. Jairus was resolved to seek the Lord. Jairus had confidence in the Lord to help him in this situation, that his faith took him to the Lord. And the fires of affliction raged within him. He could go to no one else for comfort. He could go to no one else for strength, only but to the Lord. In our prayer meeting on Thursday night past in Sandown, we were thinking of the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. And how that there, in an agony, he prayed the more earnestly. He worshipped the Lord. He came, here is Jairus, coming and beseeching the Lord greatly. Such is his resolve in the Lord. He went straightway to the Lord. And you know, the Lord must always be our first resort in any time of trouble. No one else, no matter how well-intentioned they may be, how good or how helpful they may be, no one else can give us the help that the Lord alone can give us. The Lord is a stronghold in the day of trouble. He besought the Lord greatly. Such was his earnestness and his urgency. He wasn't going to let go of the Lord. He needed the Lord's help to intervene in his life. His faith dictated that only the Lord could help him now. And his faith directed him to the Lord for that help. And his faith was grounded in the great ability of the Lord to turn his situation around. What a resolve here he displayed. He besought the Lord greatly. He just didn't come to the Lord and put his case, that's it, walk away and leave it like that. No, he was earnest in his resolve. He was eager to know the Lord's help. And like old Jacob, he wasn't going to let God go until he blessed him. We need to have that same resolve in seeking the Lord's help. Coming again and again, seeking him earnestly. Not giving up, even though the situation may seem hopeless. Yet with the Lord, praise God, there's always hope. Not only this reverence and the resolve in this demonstration of faith, but I want you to see then the request that he made. In verse 23, he says, I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. Here he invites the Lord into his situation. He invites the Lord to come and work in this situation. And in verse 24, there is a most precious verse, a most precious saying. And Jesus went with him. Jesus went with him. The Lord, in the midst of the busyness of his own ministry, went with this man. Christ was in the midst of this man's trouble. Christ was in the midst of this man's trial. Christ was in the midst, and that's what we need to remember. Too often we can crowd the Lord out. And too often we can shut the Lord out. But whenever we've got Christ in the midst of the storms of life, then we will know his peace like none other. Other things can take precedent. Other things can become more important. How we need to put the Lord and give the Lord his rightful place in our lives and in our trials that he demands and he deserves. Here's the demonstration of this man's faith. But I want you to see not only the demonstration of faith, but I want you to see as well here the delay regarding his faith. As Christ went with Jairus, there was a delay in him being able to come to get the young girl. Because the people had thronged him and there was a woman who needed healing as well, the woman with the issue of blood. And as Christ tended to her, there was a delay in helping Jairus' daughter. God doesn't always answer our requests immediately. He doesn't always answer them in the way that we think he should or the way we want him to. Sometimes there are delays in the matter of faith. But always remember that God's timing is always perfect. Even though we may not see it, even though we may want to hurry the Lord and may want to rush him, while at times divine providence may seem to be working against us, yet all the time it's working for us. All the time God is working all things together for our good and for his glory. But even in this delay, we see how that Jairus' faith was being instructed and trained. It taught him that other people had problems as well. Although his problem was serious and great, yet there were others around him that needed to be attended to. This woman with the issue of blood. It taught him to have consideration for the needs of others. It also taught him the need for patience and the need to wait on the Lord. The need to exercise self-discipline and patience as we wait on the Lord. In Habakkuk 2, in the verse number 3, we read, "Though a tarry, wait for it." Hebrews 10:36, we read, "Ye have need of patience. After that ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Ye have need of patience." This period of delay was the Lord teaching and training Jairus concerning a patience about waiting. And that most certainly would increase his faith, strengthen his faith, help his faith. Because you see, waiting on God's timing and waiting for the Lord to work all things out in his perfect plan enables our faith to grow more and more. Because it means we're relying less upon ourselves and more upon him. It means that we know just how weak and helpless we are and how strong and mighty he is. Bible commentator A.W. Tozer said that faith, like a muscle, grows by stretching. And our faith is often stretched as we wait on the Lord's timing. So while delays may seem like denials, yet they're being used by God to build up our faith and to strengthen our faith and to help our faith. We should never let go of God, especially, more so in the trials of life. Sad to say, many of God's people, we can let go of the Lord. We can lose out with him. We can want everything sorted out in the here and now, and yet the Lord just works in his time in order to build our faith, in order to teach us that our reliance is not on self, but our reliance is on the Savior. See as well, as we come into verse 35, hear the duration of his faith. The duration of his faith. We see those who derided the faith of Jairus. Some who dismissed his faith. Some who dismissed his earnest desire to see things change. People who should have been an encouragement were in fact a discouragement. Look at verse 35. It says, "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" In other words, Jairus, the case is hopeless. There's nothing more that can be done for you. Just give up. The problem's too great. That's it. Move on. Forget about it. Rather than being an encouragement, they derided his faith. And there will always be those who will discourage you. Those who should be standing with you, yet they will tell you to give up and nothing more can be done, that the situation is hopeless. These people wanted Jairus to give up hope for his daughter. But no father or parent who loves their child, naturally and spiritually speaking, especially, will ever give up hope for their child. Parents who want to see their children raised to newness of life in Jesus Christ, even though they may seem hopeless, even though rather than their hearts been softened to the things of God, they're being hardened to the things of God. And people will tell you, well, they're too far gone. There's nothing that anybody can do for them. Praise God, there's always hope with Christ. These people wanted to stop Jairus from seeking the Lord's help anymore. They, in effect, were telling this man that the Lord couldn't help him. Rather than being an encouragement and trying to help, they were dismissing and discounting the power of God. People will deride our faith in Christ, and they'll tell you to turn to everybody but turn to Christ. They'll tell us that Christ really can't do very much more. that his power is somehow limited. And I've spoken to people who have said that the power of Christ is not what it used to be. Thank God today this book tells me that the power of Christ is the same as it's always been. And while mankind may be ever limiting the power of God, praise God, he is able to change circumstances. He is able to turn around situations, even when there seems no hope, spiritually speaking. You see, the problem is today that we look at things and we reason things out by the natural eye. And we conclude that there's no hope. That there's nothing more can be done. But don't listen to the doubters today. Rather, listen to the Word of God. If people want to be carnal Christians and not willing to see that God has power to change and to turn situations around, let them be like that. But as for us, we'll lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our aid. Perhaps today you're facing a situation that seems, from a human point of view, from a natural point of view, impossible. There's always hope with Christ. Don't give up hope. Don't lose out on the great rewards and blessings of your faith. Don't limit the power of Christ to change and to transform your situation, because with him all things are possible. Jairus was determined that things were going to change. The easy thing would have been for this man to have given up. The easy option would have been for him just to walk away and say, well, that's it. But no, here was a man who was determined to see the Lord turn his situation around. There's the demonstration of his faith, the delay, and also then the derision. But notice as we come to the end of verse 36, the directive of his faith. Here's the command that is given concerning faith. What is it? Be not afraid, only believe. Jairus, there may be those who will dismiss and those who will discount. But hear the Lord saying, be not afraid, only believe. Faith is the remedy for fear. Obviously, Jairus was in fear. That's only natural. He feared for his daughter. He feared for his family. He feared that the doubters were right. But here's the Lord coming to him and saying, stop fearing. Start believing. And perhaps with those words ringing in his ear that he heard from those certain that came out of his house, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any more? Perhaps they were right. You see, unbelief brings fear, but Christ, belief in Christ, faith in Christ, removes that fear. The word of man's unbelief was rebuked by the word of the Lord's peace. And that's the command to God's people still today. And perhaps today you're in this congregation, and I know not your situation, but some situation, some circumstance has caused you to fear greatly. And you don't know how it's going to work out. All you can see in front of you are hurdles and obstacles. Well, here is the directive of our faith today as well. Be not afraid, only believe. Trust in the Lord's power. Trust in the Lord's providences. This is not this preacher telling you today not to fear. This is not the words of any man telling you today not to fear. This is the word of omnipotent God, the one with whom all things is possible. And he comes to you today and tells you not to fear. Take God at his word. Put your trust not in others, put your trust wholly in him. Fear not, only believe. The unbelievers, they brought no comfort to Jairus. The skeptics brought no assurance to him. But faith in Christ and in the power of Christ always brings assurance and comfort. Faith in his power, faith in his person, faith in his presence, faith in his plans. That term, only believe, it means to continually believe. Not just to believe for today, and then to go back to fear tomorrow. No, it's a continuous action. In other words, be believing. Exercise continual faith in Christ. Continue on. David, writing in Psalm 56, and the verse 3, he said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Dear believer, today in the furnace of affliction, pain, or agony, the Lord comes to you today just as he came to that ruler of the synagogue all those years ago, and he says to you, be not afraid, only believe. Trust in the sovereignty of God. Rest in the promises of God. Experience the power of God. Change your circumstances. There's not only the demonstration, the delay, the derision, the directive, but finally, as we close today, notice the delight here of his faith. His faith was rewarded. Although Jairus was rebuked and doubted, there was a delay, yet the answer came. Look at verse 41. And he, that is the Lord, took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is, being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise, and straightway, immediately, the damsel arose and walked. Notice the Lord's tenderness there. He took the damsel by the hand and spoke unto her, damsel, arise. The Lord's touch and the Lord's speech changed the situation. Turned this situation around. That's what we need to happen in our lives. We need the touch of the Lord. We need to hear the Lord speaking to us. Perhaps today you're here and you're still held in the bondage of sin. You're still under the wrath of God and the condemnation of God for that sin. You need to experience the Lord's touch and to hear the word of God speaking to you to arise out of your sin and to come to faith in Jesus Christ. For those of God's people in the furnace of affliction today, that's what we still need, the touch of the Lord, the word of the Lord. That makes all the difference. This girl responded in verse 42, and she arose and walked. Here was a hopeless situation turned round by the Lord. You see, when the Lord speaks, he speaks with that voice that wakes the dead, and no power of nature or power of sin is able to withstand the command of God. Here was a miracle. And I have no hesitation in saying to you today that God still works miracles. Every sinner saved by the grace of God is a miracle. Whenever you hear of people coming to faith in Jesus Christ, it's a miracle. The new birth is a miracle. And in the lives of God's people, in our situations that we face and the circumstances that we're called to pass through, the Lord can still work miracles. Even as the children of Israel stood at the banks of the Red Sea, with no hope from a human point of view, for them it seemed that they were as good as dead. Where were they to go? This wall of sea and water in front of them, Pharaoh and his armies advancing behind them. And the Lord wrought a miracle, opened the sea, and they walked through on dry ground. God still works miracles today, dear believer. Yes, people will doubt that. People will come and tell us that our situation is hopeless. There is nothing more that can be done. Perhaps you're praying for family members who are dead spiritually in their sin, and they have no thought after God, and they're far from God. And you've been praying for them for so many years now. And the temptation is just to give up. There seems no hope. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. Be not afraid. Only believe. Notice the reaction of the people at the end of verse 42. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. The doubters, the disbelievers, they were shut up and they were silenced. And they were astounded at the power of God. May today, in this generation in which we live, see the doubters, the skeptics, the disbelievers, the unbelievers, may we see them silenced as we see the power of God at work. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink. Though pressed by many a foe, that will not tremble on the brink of poverty or woe. Faith in the furnace of affliction. And that is often, folks, where our faith will grow the most. Times when our faith is tested, and times our faith is put to the test, it is done so that we may demonstrate and display our faith. Yes, it may experience delay and derision, but it will be directed. Be not afraid, only believe. And ultimately, it will be rewarded. Whatever situation you face today in your life, dear child of God, remember the word of God to this man. And no matter how hopeless or how dark your trial may seem, be not afraid, only believe. Faith is the remedy for fear.